Welcome to The Offer, the no sugar added approach to the talent triangle with an unfiltered view of employers, candidates, and recruiters. I am your host, Michael Glinter.
The Offer, unfiltered.
Before we get started, just a reminder, if you need any type of services, questions, you are looking to do a sponsorship on my show, or you have needs as far as resumes or anything as far as the staffing industry, please email me at michael@michaelglinter.com. Again, that is michael@michaelglinter.com, so we can connect. You can also check me out on social media. And please, as a reminder, don't forget, you can subscribe to this podcast to get weekly updates, as well as please pass along information to your friends and family. So I want to introduce you to Elizabeth Lotardo. Elizabeth came to me because she's got a book on purpose-driven environments within the workplace, and it kind of sparked my interest because my goal last year when I changed jobs and decided to start my own business was really to find my purpose. And it was because I didn't feel fulfilled. I didn't feel like that I had a purpose in life and I was being fulfilled with that purpose, and I wanted to find something that would fulfill it. She talks about creating an environment where people in your company feel like they have a purpose within the organization and making the organization profitable. So I brought her on the show to talk a little bit about her book, but also really to talk about, you know, defining purpose, how can a company help a person feel like they have a purpose, but also how people can find a purpose without their company's support. So let's get started. I brought you on primarily because, you know, we talked a little bit about your book. And one of the things that I really liked about the premise of your book is the fact that we're focusing on a purpose. And I can say that working with different people and talking with different people via different podcasts, one of the things that I see all the time is people that feel like when they're working in an environment that they don't have a defined reason of being there, or they don't feel like they have a purpose of being there, meaning they're not being included or they're not being led to believe that they have a purpose of engaging or value to the organization. And I think a lot of times that's a reason why a lot of people tend to look outside, is because they look for, you know, a purpose in their life and how they can affect an organization. So I want to start by you kind of introducing yourself to my audience and how you decided to write the book. And then I guess, you know, give me your 30 seconds of what is having a purpose.
Sounds good. So I'm Elizabeth Lotardo. I'm the co-author of the second edition of Selling with Noble Purpose. And the premise of Selling with Noble Purpose is that organizations who harness the power of purpose, who help people feel connected, like they're making an impact on something greater than themselves, are the ones who outperform their competitors on a sales level. They're also the organizations who retain top talent and create really inclusive places to work.
You're talking about the leadership creating an environment.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. When an organization thinks about how do we create a no purposeful environment for our employees, What are those steps? Like, what does a company needs to do to evaluate whether or not they're doing it already? And then what steps would they take to create that type of environment?
That's a great question. So we consider purpose how closely tethered you are to the impact your organization is making. How are customers and businesses different as a result of doing business with you? And the more purpose-driven you are, the more closely employees connect with that purpose, the more they see their job in the context of that purpose. You have just some connective tissue running throughout departments, throughout teams, throughout individuals. And if an organization wants to become more purpose-driven, they have to have clarity about how they make a difference. Because we know when an organization has clarity about how an organization makes a difference, it's much easier for individuals in specific roles to have that same level of clarity and engagement. So if you are on the move from a transactional culture towards a purpose-driven culture, the more clarity you can have around how you make a difference to your customers, the easier that move is going to be.
What's the difference between the one culture versus the other?
Have you ever worked at a place where you feel like you're just checking boxes? Like none of it really matters. For a lot of people, they have experiences early in their careers like that. You don't see how your work contributes positively.
But definitely early in my career. Yeah, sure.
Yeah. So when you don't see how your work contributes positively and you're just checking those boxes, you're operating in a really transactional culture. You check these boxes, you get this paycheck, the day is done at 5 p.m. When you're operating in a purpose-driven culture, everyone in the organization is connected to an outcome they want to see for customers. For example, in our firm, we help leaders drive revenue and do work that makes them proud. That is the connective tissue between all of our jobs, between my job in client services, between, you know, our CFO's job over in accounting. All of us are laser-like focused on that connective tissue, on making that difference. And that employee experience, the difference between checking boxes and knowing that your work is making a difference and you're making this difference with people who you care about, who are excited about that same thing, that is the difference in the employee experience.
Is having like KPIs or metrics and evaluating employees on those KPIs and metrics the same as telling them how they're contributing?
They're closely connected. So I would say how you're contributing isn't necessarily defined by a metric. How you're contributing is what your leader tells you is important. It's the story your team is telling around why your work matters, who it's impacting. Your metrics are how well you're doing that. So for an easy example, we can look at a sales team. The purpose of a sales team is to add value and change their customers' businesses. A metric is how much they're selling, how well they're doing that. So the metric is not your purpose. It's a test of how well you are fulfilling it.
That's really important for people to hear, because I think a lot of companies think that when they have metrics and an employee meets a metric or exceeds a metric, and then they reward that employee with a bonus or whatever, that's creating a purposeful environment to them, when it still doesn't show them how they're achieving the success of the organization.
Right. Human beings have two fundamental needs, belonging and significance. We want to belong to a group and we want to know that our contribution is making a difference. And at a certain point, a singular metric, even if it comes with a bonus, is not enough to win the hearts and minds of teammates in the long term. They have to be connected to something greater than a singular metric, something that binds them together and is more aspirational than a figure on a spreadsheet.
So a lot of companies will say they have a mission, a vision, a purpose, and that's the general, you know, target that people are trying to meet. But this is almost creating a purpose or a vision for an individual.
You certainly could have a purpose or mission as individual. I think it's important to see how your individual purpose or mission would connect to the company you're working for. Otherwise, you're probably going to feel pretty out of sync. And as organizations move towards, you know, whatever term you want to call it, purpose, mission, vision, this more aspirational tone of corporate culture, bringing employees along for the ride and saying, how do you closely connect with this? How does this impact the way you want to do your work and live your life? How are you seeing yourself in this is an important part of the employee experience. And we're starting to see it show up even before the employee experience, back to interviewing and recruiting, harnessing the power of purpose and connecting to how people want to impact the world.
Well, stop. Now you got me lost a little bit. So explain the interviewing pre-employment process and how purpose should be explained to or provided to an employee that's going to make them want to work there.
So if a high potential or a hire you want to attract to your organization is interviewing in a lot of places, they're comparing a few things. They're, of course, comparing salaries, which is natural. They're comparing things like, I guess, not commute times anymore, but perks and hours and the logistics of the job. They're also comparing how exciting it is. And if you are in an interview with a candidate and you talk about how your organization is making a difference, the opportunities they would have to make a big impact, that is a lot more exciting than talking about the specs of a role, which of course are important. But when it comes to that decision making, all things created equal, purpose can be a competitive differentiator in the talent market because it makes your organization unique and exciting and impactful.
Okay. What about, is there a way to have purpose with a customer or a supplier? Like, is purpose just segmented to just employees, or do you feel like suppliers need to feel like they have a purpose in the process as well?
I certainly think there's a place for suppliers to feel a sense of purpose too. And that comes from the relationships, right? How the organization is treating their suppliers and if that is in alignment with their purpose. So when an organization is speaking with a vendor or a supplier, are they telling that supplier how the solution impacts everyone else? Is that supplier asking questions about the ripple effect of the product or solution they're providing? So it's on everyone, both the organization and the vendors and the suppliers, to really see the entire picture and to understand how the relationship, how the products, how the services are impacting the company and how they're impacting the world. Because when we tether ourselves to that larger picture, we have context around these really functional day-to-day activities.
What if you're in an organization or you're at a company where they're not doing this, but you need to understand what your purpose is at work, but your manager doesn't give you that. I mean, how do you approach that? Like, what do you do I'm not going to say any specific generation, but there's generations that believe that if you're not getting what you want at your company, you just move on, which is, easy way out, I guess you could say. My question though is if you want to get a purpose with your company, even though they're not giving it to you, how do you go about finding that out, or how do you go about addressing that issue?
That's a great question. And I know exactly what you mean by people leaving because they feel like their cultures are really transactional, like they're lacking purpose in their role. And what I would say to that is we don't know what's in people's hearts unless they tell us. So if you are wanting to experience more purpose in your role, start talking about that. Ask your manager, why did you join this company? What's exciting to you about what we do for our customers? What, impact do you think we have on our community? Start asking those questions, and you will often be surprised to find how much people have thought about them and how much they carry those answers in their heart. We just don't talk about them on a day-to-day basis because business is very tactical most of the time. So if you're wanting to experience more purpose in your organization, it's on you to start doing the talking, ask the questions, and connect with people on this purpose-driven level instead of waiting for them to come with it to you.
So almost to the point of offering ideas on how your work can help the organization without asking for a purpose?
Yeah, I think a lot of people get hung up on purpose as a slogan or a perfect string of words. And while those things are nice, purpose is most effective when it's clear. And for us, purpose means clarity of having an impact on someone else. So if you're not experiencing that, you can start talking about, hey, I noticed our customer said that they're able to sleep at night because our software takes care of so much for them. Things like that will over time start to develop a more pronounced culture of purpose.
So essentially going to your company and saying, listen, I really would like to better understand how what I do affects, the people that buy my product is not
right.
You should be proud to ask that question.
That's a great question. It shows you are emotionally engaged. And if you're not getting receptivity to things like that, and you've tried it with a lot of people, you want to understand how your work makes a difference. You want to understand how customers are different as a result of doing business for your company. You're trying to create a more purpose-driven culture. And you keep repeatedly butting up against that's not important, that's not important, that's not important, then it may be time to move on. But I think people reach that conclusion far too early before they take the onus upon themselves to start asking those questions and having those conversations. Purpose-driven cultures very rarely are built successfully from the CEO perfectly cascaded down. They come from the front lines, from people who are doing the work. And their ability to connect those tasks and that work to a higher purpose is what creates that foundational purpose-driven culture.
So let's talk a little bit. You made a comment about sales and how having a purpose can help elevate salespeople. Explain.
There's some really interesting research that just came out of Michigan State University about this, and it studied how salespeople who do have that sense of purpose, who have a crystal clear sight line to the impact their solution has on customers, how those salespeople perform against salespeople who are only focused on their target or their quota, which is the natural default tendency in sales. And what this research found was that the people who do have an emotional connection with their customers, who are clear about how their product or solution impacts them in profound ways, those people not only outsell transactional sellers, they are more adaptable and resilient over time, because that transactional seller, when their quota is threatened, they don't have anything to fall back on. But if you are a purpose-driven seller, you know that your products and solutions influence customers. When your number is threatened, you want to dig deeper with your customers. You naturally ask more questions because you're curious. You have more strategic conversations because you understand the whole picture. You are more resilient in your approach because you are tethered to something that is stronger than a number of the quarter. So we see it play out on a sales skill level. These things naturally start to become easier, things like discovery conversations, value selling. We see it on an emotional engagement level. These sellers tend to be more resilient, more tenacious over time. And collectively, sales teams who operate this way experience much greater revenue results.
So it's okay to ask, it would be okay to ask your customer, you know, how can you tell me how my product is perceived by your customer or by your customers, or you, how it affects impacts the people that you sell to? I guess I'm trying to understand, you want on, if you're selling a product to the end user or the customer that physically uses it, then obviously you want to understand how they're benefiting from it. But if you're selling a product or service to another business, asking that business ultimately how that impacts them, what, you know, and brings positive growth for them, would help you be more emotionally connected to their product.
Absolutely. And we tend to ask those questions of our customers in kind of convoluted way. We say, what kind of results did you experience? What was your ROI like? But a conversation that goes really tactical is hardly emotionally exciting. So asking questions instead of, what difference did this make in your life? How are you experiencing your company differently? What is your company able to accomplish because of this? And asking, and then what, and then what, and then what, you'll start to uncover more than, oh, well, we upped our lead count by 10% or those really quantitative things. Mm-hmm. You start to see more emotional, thematic, strategic results.
From the perspective of a manager, how do you get your employees to want to feel like they have a purpose? You know, what about those employees that feel like all they do is come in and check it, you know, click this, the time card, and then do their job and go home? How do you get them to want to feel like they're more part of the journey and the success of the company?
Everyone has an inherent desire to feel like they are making a difference and like they are a part of something. We have often been schooled to settle for a paycheck instead and look for feelings of belonging and significance in other areas of our lives, like our families, our churches, our communities, philanthropy, things like that. So don't be surprised if you get a little bit of a pushback, but know that if you are trying to create a purpose-driven team, psychologically, you're working with the wind here. But as a leader, the more you can talk about how those tasks, the boxes teammates are checking, just figure speech, are connected to a larger impact, the more likely that teammate is to start to see the red threads of their work come together. So when you say, hey, when you filled out all of those forms correctly, for that other department. Let's use a more specific example. It's hard to speak vaguely. Let's pretend you work at a bank and you work in loan processing. It's very easy to feel like you have a mountain of paperwork on your desk and that all of these things are pretty anonymous. But when you have a leader come to you and say, every piece of paper on your desk represents someone who is buying a new home. Let me tell you an example about one of them. See this person saved for a decade to purchase their first home. And it might feel like this is all just paperwork and that your job is to get it to the next department. But know that every time you make sure these forms are done correctly, you're putting everyone in this sack one step closer to their dream home. So making that task an emotional experience, connecting it to a positive impact on someone else. So now it's not just forms, it is putting people in their dream homes.
Interesting. They don't think they're just doing it for the company, but they realize they're doing it for more than that. They're doing it for, you know, the customer and the people and how they're impacting them.
Absolutely. They see the ripple effect of their actions instead of just, these are the things I have to do to keep my job today.
Right. Which is what every company really does. Well, a lot of companies.
Right.
I mean, it's, companies don't focus enough on who they're impacting after the product goes to the customer and how they're impacting those people. Do you feel like that larger companies do it better than smaller companies, or do you feel like private companies do it better because they're more hands-on and it's more family-oriented?
It is much easier to create a purpose-driven culture in a smaller organization,
right?
Because everyone is naturally more connected with each other, because you are likely closer to the customer. Even if you are in a backstage role, you're probably one or two removed instead of 27 removed that you would be at a multinational. So it's certainly easier to do it at a smaller company. That said, it is quite possible to create a culture of purpose at a large company. Salesforce, the CRM platform, is a perfect example of that. Their company measures customer success religiously, and no matter what role you are in, even if you don't talk to customers, that metric is talked about because they're telling everyone, we are here to make a difference for our customers, instead of you are here to crunch numbers, you are here to tweet, you are here to answer the phone, you are here to hire people. Everyone is instead united around the shared vision of, we want to impact our customers.
Right.
But it's harder to do in a big company.
Right. Absolutely. How do you sell this to a company? Like, you know, as a consultant, as a third party for yourself, like, how do you sell to a company the value of having a purpose-driven environment versus just doing it the way you do it, you know, and people don't take ownership? I mean, what do you think the biggest value to an organization? So I'm a company, I'm listening today and I'm thinking, well, I mean, how is this going to make me money? Like, what is this going to do for me? What do you tell them? Right. I mean, how do they realize and understand the true impact it will make on their business?
So fortunately for me, I guess, it's a lot easier now than it is 10 years ago, because we have so much more research around how employee engagement impacts productivity, around how seeing the impact of your work influences your ability to stay with the organization, your desire to stay with the organization. So we're starting to have very quantitative research to lean on here around how purpose plays out in a number of metrics that organizations deeply care about. So fortunately, I think more leaders are seeing that the soft stuff is actually the hard stuff. And with technology, differentiating from competitors, it becomes even more challenging. You know, people are developing products much faster. People are nipping at competitors' heels online in a way they weren't before. And people have really become a differentiator. So I think recognizing that people are a differentiator to most organizations, seeing the research on how these purpose-driven cultures influence these quantitative metrics, those things make it a lot easier to jump on board. Plus, who wants to work at a transactional company where you feel like a cog in a machine? There's a heart appeal case here too, that people deserve so much more out of where they spend the most of their time, which is work.
Now there's a big thing going on in society right now, and that is the idea of inclusion. Diversity, you know, folks in within an organization feeling that they are not part of that inner circle. Obviously, creating purpose-driven environments will allow everybody to participate and be involved and be ingrained in the thought process of how the company is successful. But what if you have an organization where, from a broad organization standpoint, they don't really care, but then one manager decides to make it a mission for their department? How does an organization then prevent that from becoming a problem? Because then you have a lone manager doing it, whereas everybody else doesn't really care. And the impact, especially in the world of D&I, could be significant because people could say that, you know, that manager is giving preferential treatment to their employees. Or do you really have to, or do you really have to globally implement something like this, or it doesn't work?
I certainly think you can implement this if you are one manager who is managing three people. You can even implement this if you are someone who's trying to manage yourself and maybe your boss isn't that involved. From a D&I perspective, what we see in the purpose connection to D&I is that a purpose-driven culture tends to be much more collaborative. People feel more comfortable speaking up because they know that customers are depending on the entire organization to deliver. People feel more connected and close with each other because they have this unifying thread of we're all doing the same thing. So there are some natural D&I benefits that come out of a purpose-driven culture. But the flip side, what you asked about, having employees perceive that one manager is potentially giving preferential treatment to their team, we see that all the time at work anyway. And some managers might have better leadership skills. Some might be better public speakers. Some might be better at, you know, dissecting analytics. Every manager is going to have their natural strengths. That doesn't excuse them from treating people unfairly. It just means that every manager is different. And one manager should not be afraid of creating a purpose-driven culture, especially if that's something naturally in line with your strengths, out of fear that other employees might not feel the same. The reality is when one team starts doing something well, it starts working, they get noticed in the organization, other teams start doing the same. So I would certainly not wait for an entire organization to be aligned to start moving in the purpose-driven direction. Other teams will catch up.
What is your gig? Because you obviously have a business, I assume, on top of your book. What do you do for companies? What do you offer them?
We do consulting and training for mid-sized to large companies. And the companies that we are most successful with are the companies who have a purpose-driven spirit in their heart. Maybe everyone really believes this, but they want to amp it up a little bit. They want to get more crystal clear about that purpose. They want to make sure it's coming alive in every single conversation they have with customers. And they want to really harness what is starting to feel a little special into a competitive advantage. So if you're feeling like your organization has this secret sauce in their hearts and you need some help translating that out into the market and making sure it is really clear and, like I said, harnessing the power of that feeling into a competitive differentiator, that's where we sit. We do that in consulting and training.
And I assume, given COVID, you guys do a lot of stuff via video and Zoom and...
We do. And the interesting thing about our business is we were largely virtual before COVID. So when everyone was scrambling to put their training platforms together and to translate 3-day seminars into Zoom meetings, we had already given that a lot of thought. We had done a lot of work with LinkedIn Learning around creating online courses. We had done bespoke content to integrate into a lot of LMS systems. So we're really fortunate to be well into the virtual journey when COVID first hit. But yes, awesome. All of our work now entirely is virtual.
Right. But at least you were kind of an expert at it before everybody else decided they needed to do something.
We certainly had a competitive advantage when it came to timing, yes. But I think there is a huge, huge field out there of people who have translated in-person content virtually in really exciting ways.
Great. Awesome. Well, I really appreciate you coming on the show. Again, as a reminder to my audience, she has a book, Selling with Noble Purpose. I'll put your contact information and your book information on the podcast notes, and certainly hope that this guidance on what a purpose is and how we develop purposes in a workplace can help companies really understand how to better engage their employees and ultimately, you know, grow the organization more organically.
Absolutely. You know, the concurrent crises now of economic crises and social crises and, of course, health crises have really shown a light on the organizations that are able to emotionally engage their employees, that are able to rally around their customers, that are able to win hearts and minds versus the organizations that were checking boxes and went into absolute chaos when COVID hit. So if you're listening to this thinking, our team is pretty special and I think we can get even better, I'd love to connect on LinkedIn.
Awesome. Thank you so much for joining me today. And I look forward to talking to you soon.
Thanks for having me.
All right. I'll talk to you soon.
Please remember to subscribe to my podcast. Also, please feel free to share, like, send, tag your friends, let them have the opportunity to listen and understand and get a better viewpoint from the people that we talk to. Also, please don't forget, if you have any questions, you can email me at any time. And I hope you guys had a great day.